Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
Today we're in John 14, and we're kind of skipping over John 13, so I think I should just tell you, John 13 is a very good chapter, okay? And it actually talks about Jesus washing the disciples' feet, which I think says more about Jesus than probably anything else in the Bible. The fact that he took that posture of servant. And when we talk about washing people's feet in the Bible times, it was extra gross because they just wore sandals and there were just dusty roads. So it's not like if I offered to wash Matt's feet, you know, he's showered multiple times in the last 24 hours. His feet are very clean. I still don't really want to wash his feet necessarily. Like, a lot of people don't like to touch other people's feet, but this is like best case scenario. Back in Bible times, Jesus doing that, this was very humbling. So I think that's worth noting. And then another really cool thing was when Jesus gives the new commandment, you know, because there's the Ten Commandments, and then Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. It's John 13, 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So those are two really key things from John 13 that I do kind of just want to mention, because I'm not skipping over it because I don't think it's important or worth talking about. We have actually talked about it a lot here at church over the years. So, and I would encourage you read the chapter. But today we're going to do John 14, 1 to 14. And then next week we will be doing the second part of John 14. Because next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. That's kind of a cool day to remember and reflect on. So we'll be talking a little bit about the Holy Spirit. But today we are talking about John 14, 1 to 14, the way, the truth, the life. There's a slide that says John 14, 6. This is the key verse for today. And this is the words of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, it's kind of worth looking at this whole passage of scripture and seeing what Jesus was talking about. So John 14 verse 1 says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I've told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus makes a very bold statement here. We call them a few of the I am statements of Jesus. When he says who he is, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this is an incredibly important part of Scripture for us to understand, whether you're in this room right now and you are a believer in Jesus, or if you're in this room and you're skeptical about Jesus, you might want to get to know him, you're curious about him, because in this world that we live in our society, and particularly here in the Bay Area, there are a lot of people who look at this statement of Jesus and they say, how exclusive is that? They will say that that's a very exclusive statement, that it's excluding a bunch of people. And they will say that there's many paths to God. And I actually know a lot of Christians who have bought into that lie. They will actually say, well, you know, this works for me. Christianity works for me, but there's many paths to God. And I believe with all of my heart that this is not an exclusive statement, that this is the most inclusive statement in the entire Bible when Jesus says, I am the way. Because what he is doing is he's offering an open invitation to everyone who chooses Jesus, that anyone who comes to him gets to experience forgiveness of sins, life everlasting. Jesus is saying, here's the way. He's like offering us, like, clearly. And he's got open arms. He's including everyone. So this is not meant to be an exclusive statement, but rather a very inclusive one. But here's the thing. I mean, I've had a lot of people tell me that there are many paths to God, but one that really stood out to me was I had a hairdresser. And she was like, yeah, you know, I mean, it's just like some people want to go on the 280. Some people want to go on the 101 highway. Some people want to take the 5 freeway. You know, there's lots of different paths. It's cool, you know. And I thought about that, and I was like, you know what, there are a lot of different roads. That's true. That's a very good point. But I have a map I want to show you guys, because we just recently, if you can put the slide up, Scott, of the map. Okay, so we recently went on a little family trip, the Thompson family, to Southern California. And I have gone back and forth driving to Southern California a lot of times. Matt has done it a lot because when he was a little boy and was living in the Bay Area, his mom's family was in LA, so they would be driving back and forth. And so I'm very familiar with this pathway, and there's different roads you can take, but somehow we ended up on a detour when we went to LA, because I like going the fast way, okay? And the fastest way is taking the 5 south, and you end up going over what is called the Grapevine. It's a mountain range, and then you drop into the valley. And pretty soon you're right there in Los Angeles, which is great. However, the day that we drove down there, we had a little bit of a problem, and that was that there was a brush fire on the Grapevine. And they ended up shutting down all the lanes of traffic. It was just a standstill. I don't really want to even go on a mountain range when there's a fire in the first place. Like, it wouldn't matter if the lanes were open. I'd be like, no way. So we ended up on this detour that took us like 2 or 3 extra hours. But we made it safely, so that was great. But here's the thing. We drove through all this farmland, and then we ended up, you know, we ended up going out toward Bakersfield and then coming down and around. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, we had to eventually get back on the 5 to get to our destination. So, yes, we had a bit of a detour, okay? But ultimately, we had to get back to the 5 south to get where we needed to go. That was the way, okay? So I also think about, look at on the map on the right, on the corner there, that is where I live. And that is, it's hard to see because of the lines and all of that, but it's Seaside Drive. That's where we live, Matt and I and the girls. And I was thinking about how I've had a lot of visitors over the years, and people have undoubtedly taken a lot of different roads to get to our house. But the only way to visit my house is to eventually turn onto Seaside Drive. It's the only way, because that's where we live. So you're gonna have to get on Seaside Drive at some point or another. And so when I invite people to my house and I give them my address, I'm telling them this is the way. You got to get to Seaside Drive. And when Jesus says, I am the way, he's saying, I mean, he gets it. We all have journeys. You know, you I'm looking around this room and every single one of you has had a journey to get to God. I remember Matt and I loved the song from Rascal Flatts, God bless the broken road that led me straight to you. Like there's this journey that we take and life, you know, there's some bumps and turns along the way and all that. But ultimately, if you want salvation, if you want to get to God, you got to go through Jesus, his son. And anybody that tells you differently is only like selling you something that's cheaper than the gospel of Jesus Christ, and which is the good news, which is forgiveness and salvation and freedom for everyone. Remember, scripture said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so if that's not an inclusive, open invitation, I don't know what is. So if anybody tells you, oh, there's many paths to God, you say, you better end up with Jesus, though, if you want to get to God. Jesus is the way. And you can say that with kindness, with love, and including everyone, okay? So that's an inclusive statement. This is what Jesus says out of great love for us. If I didn't love somebody, maybe I'd tell them, go to Rosita Road. They're not going to find me there because that's not my house. You know what I mean? I'm telling them the place because I love them and I want them to come to my house. And Jesus is like, I want you as a part of my family. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to have forgiveness. So I'm telling you the way. And God wanted so much to have a relationship with us that he sent his son to earth for us, for our forgiveness. That's how much he loves us. All right, so now there's this other I am statement that Jesus makes, and that is he says, I am the truth. And wow, we live in a world where people really have a loose relationship with the truth, I would say. People want to avoid absolute truth. There's a lot of talk about my truth. You hear people say that a lot, right? My truth. Well, the thing about my truth is that my truth is like my version of events. It might be missing some key details. I don't know if you've ever told a story. And sometimes the story ends up a little different than how it originally happened, depending on how you're who you're telling it to and all that. I mean, as a kid, I remember our fishing stories got bigger and bigger and bigger each year that we told them. The fish was bigger. My dad jumped higher. Everything gets bigger and bigger over time. And so I think that, you know, maybe we really want to tell the truth, but Jesus is saying, I am the source of truth, and that there is an absolute. And I like reflecting in this in a little game I call, okay, two truths and a lie. I don't know if you guys have ever played it, but I'm going to play it with you guys here really quick, okay? I know we don't typically do games in the middle of a sermon, but I'm going to say two truths and a lie. I'm going to make three statements. And I want you guys to think about which statement is true, which statement is a lie. Two things are true, one thing is a lie. Okay, so I'm going to read all three of them. Number one, I've been to Africa. Number two, I own a pet kangaroo. Number three, I graduated college at age 20. You think about that. Now, it's pretty obvious which one is the lie in that situation, right? I mean, I don't have a pet kangaroo. Could I even legally have a kangaroo in San Mateo County? I don't think so. Like, that's not even something I'd want to admit if that was true. But yeah, no, I do not own a pet kangaroo. Thank God. So then, because that's so obvious, then you guys know, oh, Pastor Allison's been to Africa. Maybe you didn't know that about me before, but you know that I don't have a kangaroo, okay? And maybe you didn't know that I was only 20 years old when I graduated with my bachelor's degree, but you know that I don't have a pet kangaroo living in my house. So it's rather obvious. Some things are a little bit more difficult to discern the truth. Okay, so here's three more. Number one, I don't have a microwave. Number two, I went to Hawaii last summer. Number three, I had a horse as a child. Now, I feel like I actually gave it away with the tone of my voice when I lied. I actually don't have a microwave. That is true. We don't have a microwave in our house. And I went to Hawaii last summer is the lie. We went to Laguna Beach instead last summer. So, and I did have a horse as a child. That was a really fun thing that I got to have because my grandparents had a property in the mountains. They had a few acres. And so, yeah, when I was little, I got to ride around on a horse, and I really loved it. So, okay, those three things, it was a little bit harder to tell what was the lie and what was the truth. And I think that in a world where there is a lot of people saying my truth and my version of the truth, it becomes very, very important that we know God's word, that we are in our Bible, so that we know what the truth is. Because there are a lot of things that will seem maybe true, right? I mean, sometimes the lie is obvious. The pet kangaroo, that's obvious. You're like, I know. But sometimes the truth is harder to discern. Sometimes it is. And that's why Jesus says, look to me. I am the truth. And so when you are trying to be discerning about something and know what is the correct thing to do, we have to look to Jesus. That's why he's telling us this, because he knows that it's going to sometimes be hard for us. But scripture says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. There is freedom in the truth. And the truth is not something that we should be hiding from, because who doesn't want to be free? I know I want to be free. I want to live in freedom. And Christ died so that we could be free. So the third one, we're going to close up and then we're going to take communion together. The third one, Jesus says, I am the life. And that's kind of what we celebrate when we take communion together. We celebrate the fact that we have life because of Jesus, that we get to no longer fear death, and that Jesus literally speaks life over every dead thing in our lives. And so I think that he wants to remind us of our identity in him. That's what Jesus wants to remind us today, is of our identity. He says in verse 12, I have the slide for it actually. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do. Oh, that's surprising. Greater works than these? That's kind of intimidating, isn't it? I could do, what? That the power of God in us, that we will do greater things? Then it goes on to say, whatever you ask in my name, the name of Jesus, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. You speak the name of Jesus over the dead things in your life, and Jesus brings life to those things. But here's the thing. We're speaking Jesus's name. That means we want to ask for the things that Jesus would be asking for. We're not asking for a Maserati. That's not something Jesus is going to be asking Father God for, right? It's not on his radar. But if you are asking things in the name of Jesus and you recognize your identity as a daughter, as a son of God, there's this confidence that comes knowing that my Father, Scripture says, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Like, he's got all the resources in the world. And so when I'm coming to him, asking him, God, would you heal this dead relationship? God, would you heal this this thing in my life that I want you, I believe that you designed me to walk in freedom from it. Lord, would you bring me freedom here? I mean, he's excited to do it. And he says it's so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, that God would get the glory. So that's why we speak the name of Jesus. It is Jesus over everything. So whatever it is that you are going through in your life right now, because, I mean, we're all going through something, right? We're all going through stuff. I want to encourage us today. I want to encourage you today to speak the name of Jesus over it. Speak the name of Jesus over it. You don't have to be a powerful prayer warrior. You don't have to be, reading your Bible for 5 hours a day, every day, and just this super Christian. What you need to do is you need to speak the name of Jesus over the situation and not take that lightly. Take that very seriously. The name of Jesus is powerful. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. That means that everything that we need, we can find it in Jesus. And so that brings us to a place of boldly saying Jesus over the situation. Because when I came to my earthly dad, I knew, oh my gosh, he loved to take care of me. He really did. And I don't know if maybe your earthly dad was like that or not, but I will say that Father God loves to take care of you. He loves to take care of his kids, and he loves to show his power in our lives. So that means that we keep diving into God's word so that we know what the truth is. That means that we can be really bold about our faith and saying that Jesus is the way, because that is an open invitation to everybody who will believe in him. And we get to speak his name, life, over all of the places in our hearts, our minds, with our families, with our jobs, with whatever our circumstance is, healing that is needed. We get to speak the name of Jesus over it, and he's excited. He's excited to work in our lives.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.